Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You ready for a failed Celtics test, Keith?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I guess so. Because I have to be. That was not what I had planned for last night.
Is it too harsh to say they failed? I mean, it was a competitive game.
Yeah, they lost.
They lost, right?
Yeah, they
it's
lost.
It's not too harsh to say they failed the test. Last night was a test. It was a potential finals preview.
There's 82 games in a season, and for this team, you probably really circled... 5, 10, you know, Lakers, especially with Luka, you know, and they passed that one. The way Cleveland has gotten out to their start,
Cleveland games,
and the Oklahoma City games, maybe the Denver games. Those are the games that I personally am circling.
I would give them credit. Maybe this is just me still stuck with the Knicks in
the
offseason.
Forget about the Knicks.
But I'm saying I'll give them credit for all their Knicks wins. Like those were
well,
big.
Especially the opener, because you didn't know what the Knicks were going to be, and they kicked ass.
Those are big signature wins, but I think we just hit the whole list. I think that was the whole list right there. Denver, L.A., maybe the Knicks, Cleveland, and OKC.
So it's 10 games.
Those games are different.
Yeah.
Those games matter. Do you pass or fail the test? It's binary, I think. I don't think that's too harsh.
No.
They're 0-2 against the Thunder. And last night wasn't just a loss. Last night was kind of a commentary on contrasting styles.
Oh, yeah.
On, you know, the two stars going head-to-head. And Tatum was excellent last night. Jaylen Brown, not so much.
He was not.
SGA was awesome on the other side. Both teams were shorthanded to a degree. Thunder without Jalen Williams. Celtics last night without Porzingis. They've been without Porzingis. But otherwise...
It's kind of a wash, honestly. Jalen Williams is probably their second best player.
I mean...
Close to it.
Williams is an all-star this year. I'd say it was a bigger loss for the Thunder than even Porzingis. But if you want to call it a wash, fine.
Sure.
Let's not get caught up on who wasn't there. You had the two teams matched up last night. The Celtics were at home. They had something to prove after already losing to the Thunder earlier this year. And while they took a couple of brief leads in the game, the Thunder kind of dominated them last night.
You want to know my official statement after last night's game?
Oh, let's hear it.
I'm shooketh.
Wow.
I'm legit shooketh.
Oh, wow. That's your second statement of the week.
I've had two statements.
I had not heard your official statement on
the
Celtics.
I am, because I don't think you can ignore this. This was like years ago. I remember the Ottawa Senators beat the Bruins every time they played them in the regular season. And then they matched up in the playoffs. And people were like, well, I got the Bruins. I was like, based on what? Like every time they played them, they lost. Like, why is that going to be different in a 7-game series? And Oklahoma City has this great record, but we've both said all along, hey, you can have a great record in the NBA, but there's been so many examples of teams like the LeBron Heat or the Spurs with Duncan. Like, you don't need to be the one seed and you can go and win it, especially when you've already won it. So I didn't think it was the most important thing for the Celtics to have the best record. Also, they're not great at home, so them having home court advantage isn't the most important thing. But just this matchup in particular, two games with Oklahoma City, two losses. First game, the Thunder didn't have Chet Holmgren. Second game, the Thunder didn't have Jaylen Williams. And they are so good defensively Plus, they can score when they need to. They have an MVP candidate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander who could be a closer. But yesterday, guys like Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser were terrible. They were also terrible the first time around because the Thunder play smothering defense where I don't know how many of the other guys are going to have good games against the Thunder. This might be a series where they have to really totally rely on Jason Tatum to have 4, 5, 6, 7 great games in that series to do it. And also, if the three isn't falling like it was last night, you're not going to be able to beat the Thunder. The Thunder are maybe the one team in the league. Plus, with their size and the uncertainty of Porzingis playing in a series and being healthy in a series, the Thunder legit scare me now. I am concerned about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
So Keith is shooketh.
Shooketh.
The Thunder legit scare him. You guys can jump in all day long.
617-779-7937.
I'm with you. I'm not saying the Celtics couldn't beat them in a seven-game series.
Of course they could.
But I don't think I'd pick that right now. I think if they're matched up and pitted against each other and it's the Celtics and OKC, I don't think I'd pick the Celtics. That's not to say they can't win or they have no chance against the Thunder, but I don't think I'd pick them. What would you pick them based on what, as you just said, Keith?
The two regular season matchups?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're still living in the past from a year ago, and you're saying, well, the Celtics are the defending champs.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of teams have been the defending champs in recent NBA history. Nobody's repeated since 2018. And the Celtics, I'm sorry, Jaylen Brown said it earlier this week, we're better than we were a year ago. You're not.
It doesn't seem like it.
You're not a better team. And, oh, by the way, you just said they'd need 6 or 7 great games in a series out of Tatum.
Well, minimum 4. When? Right? You'd have to win all those games.
When has that happened?
Yeah, it hasn't really.
Like, if that's what they need to beat the Thunder, and that's what you believe they need to beat the Thunder, and Tatum was great last night. I don't mean to pile on
Tatum. No, that's what I'm saying. But
Jaylen was the problem.
Yeah.
But even with a great Tatum game, you still lost.
Right.
And I wouldn't wager on 6 or 7 straight games out of Tatum. Even the best games he's had and signature moments he's had, it was usually about him overcoming a crappy stretch like he did against the Bucks years ago, or he did against the Sixers where he finally woke up in a game 7. Like, those are most of his best signature moments. After he's sucked for half the series, he finally wakes up.
Yeah, no, this has to be an eye-opening kind of, you know, game against the Thunder. But there might be two ways that you would still win the series or win the whole thing. One of them, of course, would be if the Thunder don't get there. Let's say the league, if you want to buy into Keefspiracies and everything else, if the Lakers beat the Thunder in a series that has maybe some beneficial whistles to the Lakers, right? Hey, it's the NBA. All this stuff's on the table. So if the Thunder don't get there, I love the Celtics' chances still because I don't know. I don't think there's any other team that would beat him in a 7-game series. There are ones like Cleveland, fully healthy Cleveland. It's a tough series, but I'm taking the Celtics. Everybody up, Nuggets, Lakers, I'm taking the Celtics. The Thunder right now, I can't. Also, there's also this hope. A lot of teams, a lot of star players have to, for whatever reason, get to the finals first and experience that and lose and then come back and win. LeBron James didn't win his first final. Kevin Durant didn't win his first final. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown didn't win their first final.
Right.
So is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in that path where, because they are the youngest team in the
NBA. He'll get there.
Get there. You get there first, and then either the next year or 2 years later, you return, and then you're better suited for it. That's what I think you have to bank on if you're the Celtics.
You're not wrong. There are obviously exceptions, right? Giannis is an exception. First time he got to the – it took him a while, but first time he got to the finals.
Oh, yeah, no, guys have done it, but I think there are standout guys that their team might not be ready, especially this one because it is such a young roster, the youngest in the league, that – you could see them getting there. Plus, it's a gauntlet in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to have to beat probably Jokic and LeBron or whatever it is to get to the finals. But then there's something about the bright lights in the finals. However, the team that could be standing in their way and the team that's the defending champs, they did beat twice in the regular season.
Right.
So as much as I want to say, hey, maybe the finals gets a little too big for them, like, they have to have confidence now playing the Celtics.
So I'm with you. I'm not saying the Celtics won't repeat. Yet, that's more for noon. When we put the Celtics on the clock at noon, will the Celtics repeat? Will they not repeat? We'll do that 60 seconds each. I think Keith is taking the they will repeat side. Is that correct?
Yeah, I am shooketh, but I can talk myself into it. Don't worry.
Okay.
I can talk myself into them repeating.
I'll take the opposing view.
Yeah,
but that's at noon. I'm not talking myself out of them winning. I'm just saying, now I got to pick the series. And you just made a good point, Keith. Like, if Denver knocks off OKC or the Lakers knock off OKC, well, then you don't have to worry about them. And the West, as you said, is going to be a gauntlet. But now I got to pick the series. And it doesn't mean the Celtics have no chance, but I got to pick Celtics or Thunder. The Thunder put the clamps on the Celtics. And every time the Celtics came back and took a 1-point lead, Did they even get to a 2-point lead last year? It was never more than one possession in favor of the Celtics. The Thunder were going like a 10-0 run, and they'd run away from the Thunder. Sneaky dominated them last night. Dominated them.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't pick the Celtics in a series against the Thunder. I would pick them against the Lakers. I would pick them against the Nuggets. I would pick them against Cleveland.
Everybody else.
Right. The Thunder are the one team, the matchup that you don't want to see. Doesn't mean they have no shot. Doesn't mean we need Thunder buddies, as the text line is suggesting, although that's always nice.
Sure.
Always nice to have a little company.
No, they are.
But we don't need to run and hide. It just means that I wouldn't pick the Celtics against the Thunder. I don't think that makes us bad people.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, I guess why would you pick the Celtics over the Thunder right now? The Thunder can play, everybody on their team plays hard defensively. Like, they're all locked in. And then they have enough offensively. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander can be frustrating to watch, like, as an opposing fan. Like, you have to kind of like it because he's not so reliant on the three-point shot. I know people are getting frustrated with that. He draws a lot of fouls. He takes a lot of free throws, that kind of thing. But they're just locked in, and they didn't have, what, two of their seven or eight best guys? Obviously, Jalen Williams is an all-star, but no Caruso last night either. So,
good point.
If you want to bank on, you know, Porzingis coming back, which unfortunately you can't bank on. And that's the other part of this. We've always said all along, the Celtics can and will win the title, and it doesn't matter if Porzingis plays another minute. In a matchup like this, he is pretty important. So now,
I don't necessarily disagree with that, because I felt watching last night,
yeah,
they missed the rim protection. I was surprised at how well the Thunder, and this is not just SGA, although it's mostly him, I was surprised how unbothered they were around the rim. Like, they finished at a high level around the rim, where the Celtics typically bother teams. The Celtics have length between Tatum and Brown and even Horford, and especially when Porzingis is in there. Never mind, Holiday and White will block shots at the guard position. They tend to bother teams. The Thunder were unbothered. So you're right. I don't, in a vacuum, think they need Porzingis, but for that matchup, it would go a long way.
I think this one.
But then
the only one.
But Jalen Williams and Alex Caruso would go a long way for them, too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm not saying that, you know, the injury excuse. There is no injury excuse. It was a wash, if not in favor of the Thunder. I just think this matchup in particular, when you have guys like Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren out there, like, you need to be able to match up with Kristaps Porzingis.
Two stats. One, courtesy of the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department that he uncovered earlier this season.
That's right. Turned over a lot of stones for
now
this
one. Celtics have lost at home to Cleveland and OKC on this homestand.
Yeah.
They now have 12 losses at home. There is only one team in NBA history that lost more games at home. Others have lost 12.
That's right.
But if the Celtics lose one more, there's only one more team in NBA history that has lost more at home and gone on to win the title. It's the 95 Rockets. Now, they repeated.
They did.
The Celtics are trying to repeat. There's also a lot of teams on this list that repeated and lost the same or fewer games at home. So the Celtics are getting dangerously close to losing too many games at home, which probably speaks to being a lower seed and not a one seed, and having to go win on the road, where fortunately for them, they've been a good road team. But let's face it, part of their formula last year, they were 37-4. At home. That was part of their formula for winning a championship last year, and they do not have that this year. The other thing is they are way, way, way too in love with the three. Do you know how many threes they took in the first quarter last night?
They only took threes. They might as well have only taken threes. Yeah, they didn't make a two in the first quarter.
And the first one they made in the second quarter was actually a goaltend. That was the first two they made. It didn't even go through the cylinder.
Wild.
The Celtics took 24.
Over a trillion.
That's what it felt like.
That might have been.
They took 24 field goals, Joe, in the first quarter. 22 were threes. That was an NBA record.
I mean,
at halftime, they had taken 36 threes, an NBA record.
How much is too much?
They finished the night with 63 three-point attempts. That is tied for the third most in NBA history. It is a Celtics franchise record. And they went ice cold in the second half, which was entirely predictable. They were the only reason they were even in the game in the first half is because Horford and White couldn't miss from three. It's the only reason they were in the game. They were 5 of 27 in the second half from three. They attempted 63. They made 20. They're too in love with the three ball.
It's too much. I mean, it's too much. I know some people hate it. Other people go the other way, and they're like, this is how they win. Like, you got to launch threes. Like, that is a bit too much. And when it's a game that when you're not hitting them, they shot under 32%. I think it's right around there. It's like 32, 33, 34% is sort of their magic number for the last couple of years, where if they hit over that, the number is great. Like, the record is insane. And then if they go below that, they're like 500 at best. And I don't know, in a game like this where Oklahoma City is so physical, and they are getting second chance points, they're getting free throws, and they're just playing tougher, and then you're just still running around chucking threes the whole time.
Hate it.
It's tough. And then it's almost like a false sense of like coming back too, because they'll be just useless possessions, and then they'll hit like two in a row, so they get like a quick 6 points, and like, oh, this is what they're doing. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, how are you going to be able to come back and win the whole game that
you're
way?
You're not just going to be able to outmath every single team in the league. You could outmath teams last year. I mean, A, you were the most talented,
right,
and B, everybody
right
you played was hurt, and then you got a 5 seed in the finals. You're not going to be able to outmath everybody to a championship. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And last night, I think you saw why. The Thunder are too good defensively. They're way too good defensively to just let you stand out there and knock down threes all night. You're not going to do it. So I hated that. I hate that after the game, Mazzulla's like, yeah, we just weren't physical enough. Well, no crap. You play so soft on offense that it bleeds over to the other side. When you float around the three-point arc.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
And all you're doing is standing, which is, you know, shortchanging what Tatum does a little bit. Tatum penetrates and kicks. But when mostly you're standing around, that's going to speak to passive play, which I think impacts you at the defensive end. So no kidding. You weren't physical enough last night, which was a problem. And then you get to Jaylen Brown.
Tough night at the office for Jaylen Brown.
What was his problem last night, Keith? I don't want to hear just about the foul trouble. I mean, he was in foul trouble. He fouled out.
I think he was trying. I think he thought he was up for the challenge of defending Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and he was not.
No.
And I think he got torched defensively, and then that had to impact his game offensively. The two are very much related. He couldn't buy any shots. Then when you're in foul trouble, that obviously changes how you play as well. But on the one hand, you want all those guys because they should be as equipped as any team in the NBA to guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who has more perimeter defenders than the Celtics, or more good ones than the Celtics. So on the one hand, I'm like, hey, he's up for the challenge. Let's see what it looks like. It didn't look great.
No.
I don't want, if it's the NBA Finals, I don't want to see Jaylen Brown on SGA. No thanks. Peyton Pritchard actually kind of held with him a little bit. Not that I want to see a lot of that either.
No, Pritchard.
He held with him. Tatum was okay against him.
Pritchard bothered him a little bit.
He bothered him a little bit. You can't do that for a while. It's not a matchup that I love. But yeah, Jaylen Brown just had a brutal night. Like he was one of the main the 63 threes that they took, and then Jaylen Brown's performance, no help from the bench. Those guys disappeared. Also, I don't think you can rely on those guys against the Thunder.
Nope.
You play against the the Wizards or the Spurs on a random Tuesday night. Peyton Pritchard can score 25 points. Playing against a team that plays defense like the Thunder, he's going to be pretty quiet.
Jaylen Brown in the Celtics loss earlier this year in OKC on January 5th, where the Celtics were on fire in the first half and went cold in the second half. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar
Very
in these
familiar.
Two matchups against OKC?
Yep.
He did have 21 points.
Yeah, but he didn't shoot well in that game either.
8 out of 19, 1 of 6 from 3.
So,
was last night a one-off with Jaylen Brown, or is there something about the matchup that doesn't work for Jaylen? And obviously, the Celtics need him to go. They wouldn't win a championship without Jaylen Brown carrying them a year ago. 617-779-7937. Rich Keefe, you have an official statement again about the Boston Celtics. How do you feel about them one more time?
I'm shooketh.
Rich Keefe shooketh. How good are the Thunder? How scary are the Thunder? And is the shot selection a problem for this Celtics team? Never mind their poor record at home where Cleveland came in and beat them. And the Thunder came in and sneaky dominated them last night.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period.
That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Stephen A., I don't mean to have to be the guy who is defending Oklahoma City day in and day out on this program. I'm not even like arguing that they are a lock or that they are one of the great teams of the last decade. But my God, is there an incredible amount of disrespect for this team. And Mad Dog, it's not just you. I hear it every day. I hear it implicitly from other people I talk to in the league. I hear it implicitly from players out there who are like, yeah, we'll be all fine with on the same side of the bracket as Oklahoma City. They just don't respect them. And I go, why?
Brian Windhorst yesterday fired on
up.
First Take before
a horse.
The Thunder sneaky dominated the Celtics last night. The league doesn't respect the Thunder. And that's not just talking heads like Stephen A. He makes it clear implicitly. Yeah. Explicitly?
I'm not entirely sure what any of that means.
That people do not respect the Thunder within the league. And you got to wonder, Keith, if the Celtics are one of them. You got to wonder if the Celtics are one of those teams where they go, they're too young. Yeah. We've won it. We've been there, done that. They're not ready. It's our time. We don't take them seriously. And the Celtics kind of started that way last night. What'd they fall behind? 9-0?
9-0 right off the rip.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying the Celtics are one of those teams. Windhorst didn't say it, but I wonder if teams in the league don't respect the Thunder, are the Celtics one of those teams?
Do you know they are, I believe, 22-1 against the Eastern Conference?
I did not realize that.
Yeah, so if they were playing
2-0 against the Celtics, so that's a good start.
Yeah, so they're 22-1, and their one loss is to Cleveland, who they split with. So the other wagon team in the regular season is Cleveland. They split with them. Every other team they have beaten. So they're 54-12. Playing a Western Conference schedule, so who knows what their record would be in the East. I mean, would they win 70 games, for God's sakes? Like, so who the hell knows?
That is a double-edged sword. It's like they're battle-tested, but they also have a way tougher path through the postseason.
Way tougher. Like last night, and everyone's like, well, is this a finals preview? It's like, I'd still bet a lot of money that the Celtics will be there. But right now, the Thunder would have to beat, if you just base it on seeding, they'd have to go Clippers, Lakers, and then whoever comes out, Nuggets. Like, that's tough.
That is tough.
Be Jokic and LeBron and Kawhi on the, I mean, not that they can't be the Clippers, but that is a tough go. And you see upsets in the NBA. Like, last year, you know, I was waiting for Jokic to go back to the finals. Didn't happen. So, yeah, that's a tough sled for them. Now, I think it must just be because they're so young and because they haven't done it. And some of the guys that we're talking about is, you know, MVPs of the league and NBA champions that they're going to have to face. The Western Conference has a lot of those old guys. They also have a tremendous amount of talent. So, yeah, they are taking them lightly. Even though they are 12 games up on the next best team, they play defense better than anybody else, and they have a true MVP candidate. So, like, I don't know why people are taking them lightly, but they are. Like, I've the same thing, just, you know, from Twitter or whatever else, it feels like Windhorst is not wrong, right? People,
well, I don't
people
know. You
tell me.
Dismiss
the Thunder. What?
Grateful AF in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Literally the entire league respects them. So
I don't think so.
NBA insider Grateful AF would know, but I don't know. That caught my ear when Windhorst said that.
There was a front page article yesterday on ESPN being like, the league doesn't respect the Thunder. Here are 20 reasons why they should. Basically, I don't think it was Windhorst. Maybe it was. But it was somebody writing that, all right, here are the reasons why you should take them seriously. I think part of it is because they're so young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at their roster, it's like, well, they can't possibly be ready. Look, they're relying on too many young guys.
But I'll be honest, I felt that way about them last year. And I verbalized that, and I said that a bunch, and I'm like, I wouldn't take them over the Thunder. Over the Nuggets, rather. The Thunder don't scare me. I said that consistently a year ago. I don't feel that way this year. So maybe I wrote them off. I know they didn't win last year, but maybe I was too dismissive of them a year ago.
They lost to Luka and Kyrie in the second round.
But that was a team that I still think I probably underestimated despite losing. I don't feel that way about them this year. If they get picked off, they get picked off, and I'll be wrong about it. But I don't feel the same way. Last year, I said that consistently all year long. We were talking about potential final previews. I'm like, I don't take that team seriously.
Yeah.
Now I do. And I'll tell you, I still wouldn't vote SGA MVP. We talked about this yesterday.
Same.
I'd still go Jokic over Gilgeous Alexander. Jokic is averaging a triple-double, shooting almost 60% from the floor, over 40% from three.
He's in the top three in the league in points, rebounds, and assists.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So
it's silly.
I would vote Jokic for MVP, but
SGA took another step forward yesterday.
Okay, and the most impressive thing is it felt like, and I'm sure there were misses in there, and a couple do come to mind, where you're like, okay, like, Gildas Alexander took one brutal fall away on the baseline where it was like over his, I guess, right shoulder, falling behind the backboard. I'm like, that's a terrible shot.
That's a horse shot.
Okay, but largely, I felt like when they needed a bucket, he hit it. And that's something that...
Or got to the line.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
And I know people are complaining about the calls. I guess we can at least mention that in a moment.
No.
But...
The one where he flopped at the elbow was pretty good.
Okay, that was a bad flop. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But
I blame LeBron.
Yeah, no, you know who never flops? Tatum. Definitely never flops. So
LeBron ruined the league.
When it comes to the stats and everything, you see what SGA averages and you go, okay, well, that's his average.
He leads the league in scoring.
But how does it look? And when you need a bucket, can he come through against this defense? And he consistently did that last night, which to me was beyond his stat line. That was the most impressive thing. When you need a bucket, can he get one against this defense? The answer last night was absolutely, unequivocally, yes.
Oh, he without question can. And so that's the other thing is when you're looking at teams that could possibly beat the Celtics, that's why I don't completely rule out Cleveland, even though I would take Cleveland, but it's just last 2 minutes of the game.
You would take the Celtics, you mean?
I mean, that's what I mean. I would take the Celtics, but Donovan Mitchell gives you that, okay, I don't know, if he has the ball at the end, he's pretty terrifying.
Donovan Mitchell is a killer.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's, at the end of those games, he's scary.
So if they can keep it close long enough, and same with the Thunder, if they're there and you know they're going to play smothering defense, and then if you add a guy like Gilgeous Alexander, and even if some of the guys around him are relatively no-name guys, they're getting some wide-open looks. They're not solely reliant on the three. They'll knock down some backbreakers, but... They score in a variety of ways, and they were doing it without their second-leading scorer last night in Jalen Williams.
Okay, so a lot of people, and I agree with all that, a lot of people are complaining about the calls last night. I mean, the flop, it was a bad flop by SGA, no doubt about
that.
So, okay, he's flopping. You guys used to love floppers when Marcus Smart did it.
It is the league.
Tatum flops all the time. Tatum got a brutal technical last night, by the way, too, where he clearly fouled Hartenstein right before halftime. It was actually kind of a momentous technical foul.
Yeah, because you thought you were going tied, technical fouls.
Let's
give me a break.
Let's cry about the officials.
This is why we need robot refs, though. I'm less concerned about the free throw disparity because when one team only launches half-court shots and the other team goes to the bucket, there's going to be a difference.
But
take a hike.
How can you complain about the free throw disparity when you took 63 threes last night and just stood out? When did you expect to get fouled? What do you want, 4-point plays every time you line up and take a three?
You didn't make a two in a whole quarter. And they're like, how come there's no free throws? It's like, well, they're not fouling jump shooters outside the arc. That's why.
What was the stat going around last night? Was it 12 free throws for the Thunder in the fourth quarter, none for the Celtics? It was something like
no,
that.
No, they ended up shooting free throws in the fourth quarter,
okay.
But there was a big
ended
point.
Up like 19-3 or something
okay.
Like that.
There was
No. The one that everybody is saying is that the Celtics as a team took one more free throw than Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
There you go. Thank you.
But it's also, he took 11. And the way he plays, I don't even think that is number.
They said...
He's not like
They said last night on both broadcasts, I actually watched both broadcasts last night, NBC,
Brag.
And then I switched to ESPN, Brag of the Week, it's in the mix. I didn't realize it was an ESPN game, stupid me, I switched pretty fast at halftime.
Yeah.
But they said it on both broadcasts. He has over 500 free throw attempts this year, that's more than 100 plus the next guy.
Yeah.
So that guy gets to the line more than everybody. Gee, I wonder why.
It's the way he plays.
He burrows and goes to the hoop while you stand out there and launch. Tatum took 13 threes last night.
It is kind of old school. So 2 years ago, his numbers are actually down as far as free throw attempts. 2 years ago, this is a throwback type of player. He averaged 11 free throw attempts and only 2.5 threes. This year, the threes have come up to almost 6, and the free throws are just under 9. So he's taking 9 free throws a game.
I'll
so he's
you.
Getting there.
SGA, I know this from gambling purposes.
Okay.
For gambling purposes. Yeah. SGA used to be plus money on the over 1.5 threes. It's not the case anymore. He didn't used to launch them.
No. Now he's making over 2 a game, but still 6 threes a game compared to some of the guys on the Celtics. I mean, that's nothing.
6-1
for the league's leading scorer, too, is pretty surprising.
Absolutely. 617-779-7937. Keith is shooketh.
Yep.
Are you afraid of the Thunder? How do you feel about the Celtics shot selection? You want to cry about the refs? You can do that as well. Again, 617-779-7937. Taylor is in New Hampshire. Hello, Taylor.
Hey, guys. What's up? Last night scared me a little bit. And the problem is the depth, I think, with the Celtics. I'm just a little nervous. Like, OKC had 7 guys scoring double digits. Boston had 4 last night. And I just don't want to rely on Pritchard, Cornette, and Hauser.
Why are we focused on the depth? One of the guys you're counting as in double digits was Jaylen Brown, who was awful last night.
Yeah, he was.
So, I mean, I wouldn't go to the depth. I would pay attention to Jaylen and go, why has he kind of disappeared in both these OKC games?
I think Jaylen Brown was more of a killer than the bench. Although, in a lot of other games, I think the bench can bail you out of those. I think against the Thunder, you can't rely on that. Like, I think there's a better chance that Pritchard and Hauser really struggle in that series, right? If they have a 7-game series against the Thunder and that defense, they do. But you're going to win or lose based off of Tatum and Brown. And also, you know, Drew Holiday, thrilled that he's back, but he needs to be more impactful too.
Yeah.
And whether that's him guarding SGA or whether that's him just not missing as many shots. I know he's got mallet finger or whatever.
Did you think he was afraid to shoot last night?
He had a couple weird ones. Yeah, yeah.
There were a couple of times where he was like under the hoop and he kicked out for a three. And I'm Drew, shoot it.
Yeah, no, seriously.
I think some of them even led to made threes, but it's like, Drew, shoot. He felt afraid to shoot to me last night.
It might be his mallet finger. Like, he had one wide open look in the corner, and it just looked like he kind of pushed it up there. And you're like, oh, boy.
I'm surprised he attempted 10 and 7 threes. Like, it didn't feel like that much.
Yeah,
he felt scared to shoot.
I mean, he took 7 of the 63 threes, so it's sort of a small number.
That's a good point. Sorja is in Mansfield. What's up, Sorja?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are we today?
Excellent. Doing great.
So, Jones, really quick here, I don't know if you remember this, but early on in the season or a couple weeks ago, you said that not to overreact to any game or not to underreact. I would say I take my concern level from a 2 to a 5, and I say this because this team plays really good defense. The part of the reason why JB couldn't get it going is in the post, he just couldn't get it going. And I think that the biggest thing with the threes is the shot selection. You know what I mean? There was one Drew Holiday 3 in the corner where he was super short. Remember that 1-3 where Derek White, they got the steal and they shot the corner 3. And my biggest problem with the threes against the Thunder specifically, the Thunder switched to zone.
So the Thunder, I agree with this. The Thunder were giving you threes early in the game. They switched up the defense,
uh-huh.
and it flummoxed the Celtics in the second half. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't remember saying don't overreact to a game. A regular, that doesn't sound like me.
I feel like you do overreact.
Yeah,
I feel like I've been the one being like, oh, yeah, they lost they lost another one. Don't worry about it.
Very, very willing to go there and overreact game by game. That's not a fear of mine. So if I said that, I apologize.
No,
I didn't mean it.
I think it's the regular season is such a grind, but there are games that the players, I would think, get up for more so than other games. And then there's also just for fans, there are games that you're more interested in. And the fact that they are now, let's crunch the numbers, 3-5. Against the Cavs, Lakers, and Thunder, right? They split 2-2 with Cleveland.
Yeah,
they split 1-1 with the Lakers.
3-5 is right.
0-2 against the Thunder.
Out of the 8 games, yes.
And those are probably, and then they did sweep Denver. So if you want to add Denver, if you want to say, you know,
5-5.
So they're 500 against the 3 other teams we think could win a title. Not great, right? Like, not really much of a separation there.
No. I mean, again, that doesn't discount them from winning. I'd pick them over Denver. I'd pick them over the Lakers. I'd pick them over Cleveland.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I wouldn't pick them over OKC right now.
They are tough.
And why would you?
Right.
You can let us know, 617-779-7937. I imagine we'd hear a lot of, well, they're the defending champs. But you probably heard that the year prior all year from Nuggets fans,
mm-hmm.
and the year before that about Warriors fans, and prior to that, Bucks fans, and everyone, oh, well, we're the defending champs. Who's going to knock us off? And so you probably heard that logic before. We'll continue with all your feedback on the C's if you want to jump in. Meanwhile, the Patriots have released David Andrews.
What?
Released him. Maybe
offensive line, not a position of strength.
Maybe he's retiring. Maybe not. I have no idea what's going on there. We want the Patriots to add on offense. It turns out they're subtracting. We'll try to make sense of all of it next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It sounds like it already is, and it sounds like there are plenty of conversations that are happening, and this could happen extremely quickly. I heard you say that, Tom. That could be the case, and there are teams that need Cooper Kupp to fit a certain role in their offense, and there are certain offenses that fit what he does as well. We've talked about them plenty, and there are connections between Cooper Kupp and the Los Angeles Rams and some of the teams that have people from the Rams who have now gone there. The Jacksonville Jaguars certainly would be one of them with their coaching staff and their front office being a connection there. So we're going to continue to watch how this goes for Cooper Kupp. But if we're talking about an agreement between Cooper Kupp and a team by tonight, later this evening, wouldn't surprise me at all.
Garofolo on Cooper Kupp last night said maybe Kupp would sign by the end of the night. Hasn't happened. Still no. Out there, still waiting.
Still very much available.
In free agency. We want the Patriots to add to their offense. Cooper Kupp would be one of those names. Meanwhile, they have subtracted from their offense. And it feels like a legit subtraction.
Mm.
Patriots released David Andrews.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if he's retiring or if he still wants to play. He has not retired yet.
No, but they officially released them. They even had a thank you on Twitter, Instagram.
I wonder if it's a bookkeeping thing and he's going to hang them up. The only reason I wonder that is Mike Reese tweeted out, and you're right, the Patriots have confirmed it. They sent out an email. They put out a tweet. Reese says, the Patriots are making a change at center with plans to release franchise pillar and 8-time captain David Andrews today. Andrews is recovering from shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. If he decides to retire...
Okay. All right.
The expectation is the team would host a ceremony for him to honor his widespread contributions over the last decade.
What an odd detail.
So Reese is like, I know they have a ceremony planned if he just so happens to retire. I'd feel way better about it.
Save the date for a ceremony?
And not like I'm rooting for the end of David Andrews' career or anything like that. Great Patriot.
Stud.
An all-time great Patriot, you know, offensive lineman, one of the best offensive linemen of the last decade. Big factor in the Dynasty 2.0. Great, great Patriot. So I'm not rooting for the end of his career, but I'd feel much better about him, this being a bookkeeping thing and him retiring versus they're cutting him and he's going to go play somewhere else.
It's a weird move if that's the case, just because their offensive line blows.
Yep.
And we look at it and say, all right, you got Mike Onwenu, and what position is he going to play? That's sort of a debate. But if he's a right guard, are you a right guard? Are you still have four openings? And you're like, well, David Andrews, now he was hurt last year. He's coming off an injury, and he is, what, 32, going to be 33 for the season. But his last 5 years, he played in 12 games in 2020, played in all 17 in 21. He missed 3 games in 22, played in all 17 in 2023, And then, of course, last year got knocked out early and only played in four games. But a little bit more durable than I think I thought, just because of...
Feels like he's missed more games.
Yeah, and it just, you know, the offensive linemen in general have missed so many games, and then missing the, you know, really all of Drake May's starts last year. That was pretty devastating. But, you know, if he was, you know, got the surgery and rehabbed and came back, I would pencil him in as the center. So that is weird. It's like... You have so many needs on the team, and by moving on from David Andrews, you've now created another one. Now, unless they think Cole Strange is just going to be the center, or I don't know what.
Well, you
Will
do have...
Campbell at four. Be playing center.
I mean, you do maybe. Have some idea, Keith, and you guys can jump in. 617-779-7937. You highlighted to me a tweet from Chad Kraft.
Graf, it says here.
At The Athletic.
Garrett Bradbury is someone to, quote, keep an eye on. He is the, or was the, I guess is the Vikings center, but then they signed Ryan Kelly, so maybe they're going to get rid of him. So Garrett Bradbury is maybe a name to keep an eye out for, but.
Okay, so yeah. The Vikings wanted to move on from him.
Yeah.
And brought in Ryan Kelly, and he was He's the 18th overall pick in 2019.
Right, yeah, first rounder.
He started all 88 games he's played in his career.
Like, okay, I guess, but...
He does have two catches in his career, Keith.
But, hell yeah.
But ready for this? I would say he doesn't already look like the most durable guy. Like, honestly, David Andrews might be more durable than this guy based on the numbers you just read.
That's not good.
In his career, starting in 2019, 16-16, good.
Nice.
13-12, 14. Last year, he did play 17 games. But that's a chunk of time where he's missed games.
You're missing a handful of games each time.
And, I don't know, did it feel like the Vikings offensive line at the end of the year was doing a good job for Sam Darnold?
No.
Well,
Sam Darnold wasn't doing himself any favors, but right, the line wasn't great.
But they protected Sam Darnold most of the year. They fell apart late in the year. I'd say the same thing about Cam Robinson, who I would hold my nose and sign if I'm the Patriots. I'm not anti-Garrett Bradbury. If Andrews retired, fine, there's your Andrews replacement. Is he an upgrade on David Andrews if Andrews wants to keep playing? I don't know. So, I haven't watched a lot of Vikings football, yeah. But I don't think so.
So I like... The Andrews one does confuse me a little bit, but overall, last year, we kind of killed him for re-signing so many players from a bad team.
That's true.
So the fact that they're moving on from a bunch of players from a bad team, some of the veteran guys, like they're moving on from, overall, I'm okay with that. I just wouldn't have put him on my list. I would have been like, all right, keep him. Like on offense, I would have said, keep Drake May, keep Hunter Henry, keep David Andrews and Onwenu,
right.
And kind of build out the rest of it. But yeah, getting rid of him is sort of a head-scratcher, especially if he... continues playing. Well, yeah. I mean, only if he keeps playing. This might be a money thing, but if he goes and signs like a 1 or 2 year deal with somebody else, you're gonna be like, wait a minute. What?
I know how Mike Reese tends to report on stuff, and when he says, yeah, gee, I have no idea if Andrews is gonna keep playing or not, or what his plan is, but I do know if he retires, the Patriots have a ceremony planned. So I like to think that's Reese's way of saying he's retiring, which to me would make more sense.
If he's gonna straight up retire.
Why release him?
And if the team was like, hey, we're going to release you, he's like, well, guys, wait a day and I'll retire.
Yeah.
Like, why get released and then retire?
I don't know. Is there a bookkeeping thing with the cap? I don't pretend to know enough about it, but that's my hope. Because if he plays somewhere else, this is a head-scratching, questionable, and I think bad move by the Patriots.
One of the few guys I want them to keep.
Right. For the most part, I'm like, get rid of everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
617-779-7937. David Andrews released by the Patriots. Is he retiring? Will he keep playing? Is it the right move by the Pats? You guys can jump in. We have more on the Patriots offseason. It was all your Celtics phone calls as well. You can still jump in there. Patriots culture. This will be a hit to their culture, I would think. Are the Patriots being too choosy when it comes to free agents? We have some examples of that. We'll get to it with all your phone calls next.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knix Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.